You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Claire Strimple with local and statewide news. Former Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson has been appointed as manager of the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport. Bronson, a former Air Force and commercial airline pilot, served as Anchorage mayor from 2021 to 2024 when he lost his re-election bid to Suzanne LaFrance. His term was marked with numerous allegations of mismanagement and unethical behavior. In a statement, State Transportation Commissioner Ryan Anderson said Bronson has a deep understanding of Alaska's aviation needs and will help further strengthen the airport as a critical hub for Alaskans and global commerce. The Anchorage Airport is the second busiest cargo hub in the country, behind Memphis's airport, and ranks among the top five worldwide. In a statement, Bronson said he was honored to manage the Anchorage Airport. He's set to start in his new position on January 27th. And another subsea cable break has taken out internet across northern and western Alaska. The company behind the cable, Quintillion, says they're exploring options to restore service. Quintillion's president, Mac McHale, confirmed the break Saturday morning. He says sea ice and darkness has made it impossible to find the exact location of the cut, but that it likely occurred in the Beaufort Sea. Repairs to the subsea line would need to be performed by a specialized vessel, which McHale says isn't an option until late summer. In a press release, Quintillion says they're exploring other options to bring service back online. One is a terrestrial cable that would span more than 230 miles from Utqiagvik to Dead Horse, where a landline to Fairbanks already exists. McHale says the cable needed for such a route has already been purchased. The National Science Foundation awarded a team of researchers nearly $1 million to study glacial outburst flooding from Juneau's Mendenhall Glacier. A glacial outburst flood is caused when a glacial lake releases its water into a river. For the last 2 years in a row, such flooding has caused significant damage to homes in Juneau. The lake formed by Mendenhall Glacier is called Suicide Basin. University of Alaska Southeast geophysics professor Jason Amundsen says the research will focus on the basin, glacier, and point of outburst, but he thinks the information they gather will help hydrologists with their own research on where the water will go downriver and into the community.
There's so much variability from one year to the next, and part of that is that it's so hard to just observe the basin.
Studying the basin floor could give them a better sense of how much water could be released each year and how quickly. And he says this work is going to take some time, so it may not help those who want to know what this year's glacial outburst flood will look like. Environmental science professor Aaron Hood is the other UAS researcher on the team. He and Amundsen have been studying the formation of Suicide Basin and its outburst flooding for years.
Basically, we haven't not had a lot of funding to work on the Mendenhall outburst flood, largely because for a decade or so, it was never big enough that it created a serious hazard. And so there was no real sense of urgency in terms of people funding research on it.
Now that the flood is causing extensive property damage in Juneau, he says it's urgent that a larger team is committed to understanding it. And that research could influence the formation of local policy. Hood says that even with the information researchers have now, it will be easier to predict if other communities near glaciers may see this type of flooding in the future.
If we go back in time 30 years now, and we have the same capacity to model then that we do now, we could have looked at the Suicide Basin there and said, hey, this is a place where a nice marginal lake is likely to form that could lead to outburst floods. Nobody did that, and so we had no warning of it.
The five-year grant will allow researchers to understand the Suicide Basin formation more deeply, how its evolution will impact future glacial outburst events, and what indicators could forecast glacial outburst flooding in other communities. Researchers from the University of Alaska Fairbanks and Carnegie Mellon University will join the two UAS professors on this project, and the team plans to take on graduate and undergraduate students. The nation is still mourning the loss of late President Jimmy Carter, who died in late December at the age of 100. Now, one Sitkin who has a special connection with the former president is organizing a tribute in his memory. In 1990, Debbie Miller had written her first book about the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge called Midnight Wilderness. She got a call from a producer in Atlanta who was working on a documentary about President Carter.
And he said, hi, you know, we're doing this documentary on President Carter, and he's read your book, and he would like to meet you when we come to Alaska. So I was in disbelief, you know. And more than that, they wanted to meet me in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge because that was a place that he had never visited, mm-hmm. that he always wanted to see the caribou and the beauty and magnificence of that area.
It turned out Miller was already planning a camping trip to the wildlife refuge with her two daughters and sisters that summer. So they arranged a plan to meet. Miller says the day of the visit, they weren't sure if Carter would show up, thinking weather or the Secret Service would change the president's plans.
Right. There's the morning when I've got my little air-to-ground radio, mm-hmm. and here comes the helicopter.
Wow.
And I was nervous because we were almost out of food. We'd been camping for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried I didn't have anything to serve President Carter and Rosalind Carter. And they brought a whole cooler of really good, you know, country fried chicken and fresh fruit.
Miller says Alaska was important to Carter. And when they were together in the Arctic, he told her that signing the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, ANILCA, in 1980 was the highlight of his administration. ANILCA established sweeping conservation areas in Alaska, doubling the size of Alaska's national parks and refuges, and it brought further protections for subsistence of fish and wildlife in rural areas.
So this was a big deal, and Cecil Andrus, his Secretary of Interior, he would bring topo maps into the Oval Office, and they would get on their hands and knees, and he learned all the boundary lines and the rivers and the mountains, and he longed to come up here and to see these areas himself, which he did.
Miller is collecting Sitkin's condolences and memories of President Carter as part of a larger national project. Miller plans to send the book to the Carter Center in Atlanta. Everyone saw the images of homes burning throughout greater Los Angeles earlier this month in what has now been called one of the most destructive urban fires in United States history. That included two Juneau residents, one of whom fled the Eaton Fire as it consumed the community he had lived in for decades. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
That's the sound of a firestorm ripping through Altadena on the night of January 7th. The video was shot by Drew Dombowski, a Juneau resident who still maintained his home of nearly 30 years in the LA County community. In the video, embers sail through the air as the wind shakes trees and street signs. Small fires ignite in the brush across the street. Dombowski captured the footage just before getting in his car to flee.
I stuck around the house longer than I should have.
He had just returned to California from Juneau the day before to finish getting his home ready to put on the market. A guest appearance with the Juneau Symphony in 2017 first brought Dombowski to Alaska. He fell in love with it and kept coming back as principal bass. Then he fell in love with Katie Giorgio, the symphony's principal trombone. After spending his entire career as a studio musician in LA, he was finally ready to retire and live full-time in Juneau with Giorgio.
This was like my big move. I lived here 68 years. It's time for a change.
But on that Tuesday, the Santa Ana winds had raged all day, putting the entire bone-dry LA region on edge. Back in Alaska, Giorgio was on edge too, watching coverage of the Palisades fire. As night fell, Dombowski sent her a screenshot from a fire tracking app. It showed a new flame icon in nearby Eaton Canyon.
I knew immediately when I saw that map. I was like, this is not good. I think we're going to lose the house tonight.
As the flames approached, Dombowski had time to walk through his home taking pictures and to grab a few essentials before leaving. By the next morning, it was gone.
I just spent $1.5 million remodeling the house to sell. It was supposed to be listed in a couple of weeks. And now it's just a pile of rubble.
Giorgio caught a flight to LA the next day to help him sort through the aftermath. Like many Southern California homeowners, Dombowski's insurance of 28 years dropped his coverage a year ago. He could only find home insurance through a state plan offering the most basic coverage. And then there's all the other things to think about in the aftermath of a disaster.
Like, Drew had one pair of pants. Like, in Los Angeles. Like that's all he had. So then it's like all of the, of course, just normal life stuff that you don't have. But it was also like spending time calling the utility companies.
They drove up to the house to take pictures and see what was left. A foundation of singed bricks and some surprisingly fire-resistant lawn furniture. The fire destroyed more than 9,000 structures and left 17 people dead. Dembowski and Giorgio say the community is forever changed.
Altadena was such a beautiful place. It was an old area with lots of big trees and old houses, and it is just, it's just gone.
That's what I cry about. Of course, the house, but and things in the house, but it's really like that was such a beautiful area, and I just don't see it recovering in the same way.
It's easy to count up the things they lost in the fire. A collection of mountaineering guides assembled over 40 years, bikes and vinyl records, Giorgio's orchids. But Dembowski is quick to point out that he's one of the lucky ones. He already had a place to stay nearby and a home in Juneau to return to. And he was able to save his prized possession, an upright bass from 1790 that he's owned for half a century.
Had I lost that instrument, that would have changed my dynamic.
Months of uncertainty lie ahead. Instead of listing his home on Zillow, he'll file insurance claims. He knows he won't recover the full value of his home, but he's making peace with that. In a way, it's a relief after struggling for so long to part with it.
And, you know, that's taken care of now. Not the way I would have chosen. But it's given me the freedom to move forward and to get where I was hoping to get a little bit sooner.
He has his health and his loved ones and his base.
I'm counting my blessings.
Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Madeline Baxter.
That's the statewide and local news. I'm Claire Strimple, and this is KTOO.